And welcome to another Saturday edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I come down this roadway, if you will, every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And we broadcast live on AM radio. We also broadcast on the internet. We stream live at richarddugan.com, and we encourage you to check out the link. I think I made it large enough. I'm not sure, but I'll check with my guest in a moment, see if it's large enough for her. It's large enough for me, and you can click there and listen to the program. We're going to have an interesting program because we're going to be taking your phone calls this afternoon. If you'd like to give us a call, and I'll tell you why in just a moment, I'll give you the numbers. Locally, 805-564-1290. That's 805-564-1290. If you're listening live on the internet or you're outside the area, 866-564-1290. That's 866-564-1290. It seems as though that we're always trying to get what one might call a leg up on things, trying to figure out what's the next best move to make, which direction should we go. And of course, we've often said that it's always best to go within, and the answers are right there within yourself. You don't have to ask anyone else. But if you're not real practiced at that, that's why the other folks who are out there providing that intuitive information for you to help guide you a little bit. And sometimes people will call and ask questions, or they'll go to these various intuitives just to seek confirmation, like, okay, I have that message, but I'm not real confident in it. And it's not because the information is flawed. It's because your own personality and your emotional makeup interferes with your acceptance of that information. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with my guest, Beth McDonald, and I welcome you to the program. It's nice to have you in. Pull that right in close to you.
Thank you, Richard. I am so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're here. You're a consultant. You're intuitive. I'm curious, do you use tarot cards or anything of that nature?
I use tarot cards, not as often, but I do. I primarily use astrology, especially for any kind of strategic plan that is time sensitive.
Okay. Any other modalities that you utilize externally?
I do past life regressions with people.
Okay.
It's not as frequent. People don't usually show up asking for that. Sometimes if we're working towards a goal and we find that there's a lot of blocks or fears, sometimes that's the best way to blast right through. Yeah.
So you'll be able to talk with people. And now, what is it that you need from them? Just to hear their voice? Or do you need some additional information, birth date, birth location, name, hair color?
name, rank, and serial number.
Exactly. Yeah. Because everybody's a little different.
Everybody works differently. Yeah. That's one of the hardest things for people who aren't in this field to understand about this field, that everybody's gift and talent is different, and everybody's way of working is different, and different things work for different people. Different modalities are better for different problems.
Now, you have been dealing in this arena professionally about as long as I've been involved with computers.
Uh-oh.
How did you get started?
Oh, it was a complete, I started to say it was a complete and total accident, but you know, nothing ever is. I had been a new mom. I gave birth to my son Abel in August of 1991. He's about to be 18. And as a lot of new moms, you know, you pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to not trash this kid, you know, help me to not scar him psychologically, or at least minimize the parental wound, you know, and not, you know, minimize the negative legacy. And I prayed a lot. And then the next thing you knew, I started seeing ghosts in my living room. And it forced me to deal with the clairvoyance and intuitive side of my nature that I had shut down a lot of years previously.
Rather than seeking medicational
remedies. Well, I thought about that. Yeah. You always think about that, you know?
But it was,
I was really committed. You know, I was raised in the South, where faith is a huge part of your life. Mm-hmm. And even though what I then believed was much different than what I was taught to believe, it was still there. Mm-hmm. And I knew if I prayed, I would be helped. I just didn't know it would come in the form and fashion that it did.
Yeah.
You know, beware what you pray for. You always get what you pray for. I got help. It just came in the form of my two deceased grandmothers. And
Wow. That
opened the can of worms. And then I got some serious help. I did the psychic junkie thing for about 2 years. I kept going to psychic after psychic after psychic, begging them to tell me that I wasn't psychic. And they wouldn't do that. They would not do that. They were like, no, honey, you have to make peace with this. You have to. This is a part of you. You cannot deny yourself.
And you're probably going, but I don't want to.
But I don't want to.
I'll be different and I'll be shunned and ostracized.
I'm a freak. And yeah. And a dear friend of mine who was a lay minister in a very Christian church used to turn to me and say, honey, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. You know, God's will for you is often better for you than you would have for yourself. And this is his way of getting you there. And if you truly have faith, you have to follow this path.
Yeah.
And at the time, I probably said a few expletives and I love you, now shut up, please. And you know, the way we do to our beloveds. But I did it.
I did it.
It took some time, but, you know, you can turn any ship around.
And your family's reaction?
Well, what's interesting was... my parents are both have a lot of Scorpio, and Scorpio is so secretive. And the first thing my mother said, I was terrified to tell him, and I didn't tell him for a couple of years. And when I finally came out of the closet with it to my mother, she said, oh, you got the family gift. And I just about dropped my teeth. I couldn't believe it. And then we started talking about things. And then... Wow. You know, a lot of memories came flooding back that I just hadn't pieced together a certain way. But I also found out a lot of family secrets. You know, it's on both sides of my family genetically. And it was just, you know, the Southern Christian tradition is very complex. You acknowledge these things, especially in the Mississippi River area,
Yeah.
It's funky. It's like there's a lot of spoken and unspoken, and it's very confusing, you know. And
the things that come to mind are several different movies. One, of course, Harry Potter, where everybody's learning to be wizards.
Yes.
Practical Magic.
Yes.
The movie.
Yes.
And that type of scenario.
Yeah.
Which I can't even think of how many times I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's really a very cool movie. We're going to talk more about this and other things. We're going to take your phone calls, 564-1290, 866-564-1290. If you're outside the area, if you're inside the area along the central coast of California, Santa Barbara, Goleta, Ventura, if you're listening to us all the way in Thousand Oaks, give us a call, 866, area code 805-564-1290. We're going to continue with Tell Me Your Story and your phone calls, and we want you to stay tuned. I'm Richard Dugan.
Are you sad or angry about past events in your life? Would you like more joy, love, and peace? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
Where do you go when you have a business guest, have time for only one lunch, want to show off Santa Barbara, and relax at the same time? Come to the Arts and Letters Cafe in the heart of downtown Santa Barbara, where the loudest noise is the fountain, not the traffic. The Arts and Letters Cafe is secluded behind Sullivan, Goss, and American Gallery, directly across from the Art Museum on Annapamoo Street. This is where great food and art combine for an exclusive luncheon experience. For starters, try the critically acclaimed pumpkin soup. The creative salads include grilled salmon medallions, warm lamb, and pear and caramelized walnuts. Arts and Letters sandwiches are equally delicious. The seafood entrees at Arts and Letters Cafe are simply incredible. Grilled ahi or seared scallops, risotto and chopino too. With plenty of parking at the New Granada Garage, the Arts and Letters Cafe offers you a private sanctuary and superb food.
This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and that's what we really attempt to do is understand where we're all coming from, where we're all going to. Sort of the proverbial ultimate questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? And how in the heck did I get here? And Beth, well, you came through the front door, but you came through it rather circuitously through Southern Christianity, if you will. And it sounds to me like you didn't have any problems, you know, bridging between those two as far as your, we'll call them psychic or intuitive abilities, or did you struggle with that?
Oh, I struggled enormously. It's not that I didn't struggle as much as I was surrounded by those, all those psychics that I had gone to, mm-hmm. A lot of whom were local, and to whom I owe an extraordinary debt of mm-hmm. gratitude for standing beside me and saying the same thing over and over and over again mm-hmm. until I could get it. It's not that it wasn't difficult. I was so clear that it was the only open door,
yeah.
that it was the only way out. And a lot of our lives are like that,
yeah.
where we hit a point and you have to deal. You
and your life has been clear sailing ever since.
Oh, smooth as silk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also have a bridge we'd like to sell you.
Yeah, and some swampland.
And some swampland. But before we do that, let's go to our phones. We have Susie on the line, and she has a question for you.
Well, actually, I feel I relate so much to you, Beth, what you've been saying.
Thank you.
About your gift and just what you finished saying, you know. Anyway, so can you do a mini reading on May 1st, 1936?
1936, yes. Is there a particular area that you're more interested in than any other?
Well, my moon is conjunct Neptune.
Yes, it is.
So
I noticed that.
I'm at the nadir, so I'm very intuitive. I know that. And I'm oversensitive, so I pick up everybody else's illnesses. Plus, I have Saturn at my midheaven.
Ooh.
No, Saturn on the fourth house, the nadir, Uranus at the midheaven, and Pluto, so it's a T,
yeah.
on the seventh house cusp, and I'm going through such changes, I could use some validation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hearing all this technical talk.
Techno-garble.
I'm lost.
Yeah, sorry. One of the things that I love about astrology is that the planets all represent the different archetypes, the different parts of your personality.
Yeah.
Now, there's different kinds of astrology, mm-hmm. and so that is a whole nother show.
Right.
Yeah. But it's important when you're seeking an astrologer to find one that practices the method you like or the method you like best
right.
or that works best
mm-hmm.
for you.
Okay.
I'm more into the Western astrology, the psychological astrology, and the whole archetypal thing is where I'm the most comfortable.
Okay.
When I first looked at your chart and saw how much Taurus you have the Sun, Mercury, Mars, and Uranus there. All that's been squared by Neptune for the better part of many years.
Yeah.
And Neptune is, I think, the most challenging planet of transformation and change that there is, because when you're in a Neptune transit, you have to learn how to take it on faith. Your intuition is blowing open. You don't have the facts to back up what you believe. And it's like that Indiana Jones movie from the third one where he has to take the leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out how to do it. For him, he picked up that handful of sand and he threw it and found where the actual bridge was. That's a metaphor for this moment for you. And it's like stabbing in the dark. And especially for someone like you, I'm a lot like you. Most of mm-hmm. your planet is in, most of the planets in your natal chart are in earth signs, Capricorn,
right.
Virgo, Taurus, the earth signs. Now, earth girls, contrary to the song in the movie, earth girls are not easy. Earth girls are very practical and pragmatic, and I love them. And earth girls tend to have the hardest time with Neptune because it washes away all the things that you're the best at and all the things that you hold dear. And it really does force you to reevaluate a lot of your values and to find a way to trust your intuition and to trust your faith better in ways that aren't fraught with a lot of risk.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Well, now, Susie, let me ask you something. I mean, you're spouting off back. The two of you can communicate in this language better than I can.
Well, I used to do astrological readings cold.
Okay.
On the radio. You know, I would
fantastic.
Have my ephemeris in front of me, and they wouldn't even tell me the gender or just the date, whether it was for their dog or for their aunt or, you know, and all that stuff. But then as I got older, I haven't practiced professionally in a while.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned validation because I'm going through so many sharp inner changes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I ask if I'm going nuts.
Yeah. Well, Neptune is famous for that. I mean, think about it. Neptune also rules insanity. You know, all the
there
planets.
We
well, let's get rid of Neptune and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, that was when I first started studying that. It's like, do we have to do him? Do we have to do this? Can we punt here? Can we pioneer?
And we only need 8 planets, okay?
Yeah. It's not necessary. But in the Western astrology, one of the things I like the best about it is that it focuses on dualities, the higher octave and the lower octave of each planet, each sign, each transit. And the higher octave of Neptune is it brings you closer to God. The lower octave is it can be confusing. It rules depression. It rules despair. It rules substances and abuse of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is very, very difficult, especially as we get older and we develop all these health problems, and the contemporary American solution is to medicate.
Exactly.
And then that makes things even more complex and difficult. And so...
better living through chemistry.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, or not.
Now, Susie, how long have you had you been practicing, if you will, or
about
professional?
About 35 years.
35?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And obviously, you say you're sort of out of practice, but how was it sort of, did you give yourself readings very often?
Well, I do consult my chart. I looked at my chart and all that kind of stuff, but you know, it really helps to get another person to look at it. No matter how good you are, when you're looking at your own chart, you're subjective.
And for me, afraid. When I see things in my chart and I am not accurate, it's because I'm afraid to let myself see that. And so I do believe, even the doctor needs a doctor, and I do believe that a practitioner in these fields needs to go get a reading from somebody else at least once a year.
Well, how has the information that Beth has given you today helped?
Well, I wouldn't say it moved anything forward. It just validated what I already know.
Exactly.
But what I would like to do, are you local, Beth?
Yes, I am.
And, yeah.
And we'll give out her contact information here in just a little bit as well.
Yeah, okay. So I'll call you for a reading.
Fantastic. Wonderful. I would love that, Susie.
Yeah.
And thank you for calling and listening.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
And that's how easy it is. Just give us a call at 805-564-1290, outside the area, 866-564-1290. And we will take your call on the air. We'll just take your first name and your birth date is all that Beth needs. Beth McDonald, she's a local here in the Santa Barbara area along the Central Coast and certainly has a website as well. That's I don't have it up on my screen right now. Is it BethMcDonald.com?
Beth McDonald Consulting.
Consulting.com.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You've consulted with corporations using your gift.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I honestly love that.
Now,
10
years ago, it's like, are you kidding me? General Foods is going to consult a psychic?
Ronald Reagan consulted a psychic in the
80s. Yeah, it wasn't
FDR
highly publicized, which is rather interesting.
But it's astrology has been the mistress of economics and government since its inception. They are intertwined.
Look at the money.
Yeah. Look at the follow the money. Yeah.
No.
Oh, look at the money.
Look at the dollar bill. Look at the symbols.
Yeah. You know, the mysticism,
I'm still trying to figure out why they have the Eye of Horus and the Egyptian pyramid on U.S. currency. I know that there's a historical reason for it. Someone will call and give it to me, but it's like, wait a minute, shouldn't we have the symbols of this country as its founding and so on and so on and so on? And yet we have all of these other strange and ethereal symbols. And that's just on the currency alone. And look at some of the buildings, the White House and the Supreme Court buildings and other courthouses and again, on and on and on. And I still have one question as to why there were steeples put on churches. Bell towers, I understand. The bell is to call the people to service.
Yeah.
But why is there's no bell in a steeple? What is a steeple for? Is it a giant sundial?
You're going to have to get an architect on the show.
I think probably so. A mystic architect.
A mystic architect. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting a little far afield here. But you do work with corporations, and you've been doing that on a pretty regular basis.
Since the beginning, it was the biggest shock when I first got into this field. You know, there's not a whole lot of business models. You know, it's not something you can go study and get a degree in at a university where they will teach you not only how to be better at your skill, but to formulate a successful business plan, business model so that you can make a profit and survive and thrive. And so, again, that's where a lot of other professionals who came before me were very, very helpful. But I really had a lot of misperceptions. I really assumed it would all be tourists and trophy wives. And the first thing I found was that 80-90% of my business from the gate was professionals, young professionals, entrepreneurs, companies, nonprofits, people who wanted to integrate their lives more fully. And I think that's a lot of a generational thing. You know, for people of our generation, we watched our parents growing up and realized it wasn't enough to just put food on the table. We want to do work that is emotionally, psychological, spiritually fulfilling, and to have that body, mind, spirit integration, not just on Sundays at church or whatever, but as we walk through the world in our daily lives. And so it was a surprise to me to find that after the first year of practice, but I love it. Yeah. I really love it.
It is, and I've obviously with this radio program, I have run into more and more people who are doing this on a full-time basis and actually making a fairly comfortable living.
Yeah.
It's not something that they're getting rich on.
No.
It's just, look, okay, this is my ability. This is what I do best.
Right.
And so off I go.
Yeah.
And they're making they're able to pay their bills and do the things that they want to do and go where they want to go. And it seems kind of extraordinary because, again, as far as my growing up, you know, it was, first of all, it wasn't in the mainstream. It was, you know, woo-woo. And I mean, that was the phrase.
That was the phrase.
Woo-woo.
Yeah.
I thought, what? How do you, can you spell that for me, please?
Yeah.
And gradually, as time went on, it became more and more. And as you said before, and I did hear the stories about Ronald Reagan, primarily Nancy Reagan. They always directed it towards Nancy, that she was the one that was consulting the psychics or astrologers or what have you. And yet it turns out it was maybe both of them or Ronald specifically.
Well, it was what I have been told. It was, you know, it tends to be something that women are more interested in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that it had been something that Ronald definitely wouldn't have picked up had Nancy not gotten him into it.
Right.
But then what happens if you start dabbling in something and you get results?
Mm-hmm.
You want more.
Yeah.
And he was very successful beyond comprehension.
Right.
How can someone who came from his background and who was an actor become this governor of California, a major figure in American politics, and later the president? It really kind of defies description. It was very, he was the first.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
was the first
and
in our country.
And I also had heard reports that the Soviet Union during the Cold War was using psychic abilities. They were doing tests and all
remote
these kind,
viewing and
yeah, all those kinds of things.
And so I'm our government.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it was like it was going on. It was now. It's like, what, you're turning this thing into a weapon? And my first thought was, the universe will never allow it to be used as a weapon. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you can do all you want, but you're not going to be able to manipulate in that context.
Right.
Although, if you take a look at, again, Ronald Reagan was so successful, but then again, my take on it would be that all he did was follow his intuition or the guidance of the psychic in
well,
that regard.
Now, I have heard other psychics and astrologers talk of one aspect of Reagan's use of astrology, but I've never found actual documentation of it. But keep in mind, it is something that would probably take 6 months to a year of really dedicated research to find out.
Right.
But one of the things that when I was coming up, I would hear older astrologers say was that Ronald Reagan took a lot, if not all, of his most controversial actions when the moon was void, of course, which is a transit that happens fairly regularly, and that they call the getting away with it transit. And he was the Teflon president.
Yeah,
you know,
he was not
squeaky clean, clean by any stretch of the imagination, but he got away with probably more than any president, and is still revered as God in many circles when he, you know, did a lot of things that, you know, with the aid of history, you know, if we didn't know then, we're a lot clearer now that we're not good for the nation, we're not good for the country, we're not good for the world economics. He did do good things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to paint him completely black. I don't do that.
Right.
But I don't think his reverence is, the way he is revered in our society is particularly earned. And I think it would be one of the, later when I'm rich and famous and I have tons of time to sit around and just look up arcane astrological stuff, that is one of the things that I would love to do.
Well, but
if there's any listeners out there who know of any published research on this, call me, email me, let me know, because I would love to know more about this, because people ask this all the time.
Yeah.
He is the most common contemporary American figure who's known to have dabbled in astrology.
And the website is BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. And you can also get there through RichardDugan.com. Now, other rulers, other dictators, other heads of state down through the centuries have used alchemists and seers and astrologers
and astronomers. Even in the Bible.
Exactly.
Right.
So this is nothing new from that standpoint.
Well, and this is what makes me feel so good about all this. You know, as I was coming up, one of the things that the older kids told me was that one of the burdens of the younger generation is, as this is becoming more accepted, we have to educate.
Mm-hmm.
We have to educate people. And people think it's such a freak show.
Yeah.
But if you look back through recorded, documented history, there have always been shaman, seers, prophets, intuitive advisors for whoever was in power since we wrote on cave walls. It's just what we've done.
Yeah.
And the tricky part is that absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have to find ways to bring integrity to this process and to educate people. You know, like we talked about on the phone a while back, when you travel in other countries, it astounds me that there are places in other national societies for people like me. You know, we're not the gypsies or the, you know, booth at a trade show kind of a thing.
Right.
There's in the Mexican culture and the Irish culture, there's you go places, and there's in the Native American culture, in the Chumash culture, there were seven different kinds of shaman in each tribal band. They each had very specialized niches, which I think is one of the most sophisticated applications I've ever seen in a group of people.
I think that's one of the things that I have found so fascinating is when you find something like that, and I was not aware of that, by the way, but when you see a society that places people in those positions, there has to be some level of credibility to what they're doing. Certainly, when you look in our media today, and maybe not so much today, because now there are programs where we have people who are featured their character is a psychic, like the program Medium. Even the Mentalist is.
Right.
I kind of see him in that same context, although my perception is more that he is really, really observant. I mean, it's not something that he's psychically doing. It's that he is looking at everything in minute detail and backing up and looking at the big picture and going back and forth. And he's just putting all those little puzzle pieces together, and he's able to make it click.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. I think the age-old dilemma is really, you know, when I talk to people who have fear, or who doubt this, the thing it always comes back to is in certain aspects of the Christian religion, they have come to denigrate intuition mainly because of people who have abused it in the past, and it should never substitute for your one-on-one relationship with God.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found just a couple of years ago was a Bible quote from the book of Leviticus where, and I'm paraphrasing badly, but it has to do with it's not that you don't use this, is that you never put it before God.
Right.
And so a good intuitive, a good psychic, a good, you know, reader is going to help you, is not going to tell you what to do as much as they help you find how to trust yourself more to find your own way,
yeah,
and validate you and gently guide and steer you to your own greater heights and depths.
Which is contrary to what the leaders of the church would want,
right,
you to do,
right,
and that is to follow them.
Well, and this,
I mean,
is,
that was kind of the way that we have been taught, that,
yeah,
down through the centuries, the hierarchy,
yeah,
within the given religious order wants to maintain some level of control. And the last thing they want to do is say, trust your intuition,
and
because then they, where's their power?
Right, right. Now, that's the lower octave,
mm-hmm,
of a lot of that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely, you know, see how that evolved. And you can see it in our daily lives whenever,
mm-hmm,
you get one of those preachers who's caught in a scandal or stole the money or, you know, it still happens.
Yeah,
you know,
it
tragically, it still happens.
Yeah. If you've just joined us, I'm Richard Dugan. Beth McDonald is my guest. She is a consultant here in the Santa Barbara area. If you'd like to get in touch with her, it's BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. You can get to her through RichardDugan.com as well. We'll have this interview up on our website as an archive 10-15 minutes after the program's over. We encourage you to give us a call if you'd like to talk with Beth and ask her a question with your first name and birth date. It's 805-564-1290, 805-564-1290. If you're outside the area listening live, streaming on the internet, you can call us at 866-564-1290. That's 866-564-1290. If you're just looking for confirmation or you're just looking for some direction, that's fine too. Either way, I think that's one of the things that I have found, and I've had to learn this process myself, really pushing my judgments aside when people call up the psychic on the radio or go to a psychic bookstore, a metaphysical bookstore where there's somebody doing readings, and they're asking, like, what is it, like the three or four basic topics are money,
love,
relationship, right, love, money, family, and job.
Career.
Yeah. Career.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like, those, I guess, are the four,
yeah,
main ones.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, you know, why can't you, I hear that all, and then it's sometimes the same people are calling into these radio shows over and over and over again, and it's like, wait a minute, they're still reaching out. They're still trying to get a handle on what's real for them,
right,
what works for them, and they're just asking somebody for a little help up, a little,
yeah,
hand up.
Leg up, yeah.
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 Have the questions changed much for,
no,
you? They haven't. Still the same.
It is still the same. And what I love about my job is that I work with everybody. I work with welfare mommies and I work with Montecito millionaires. And they all ask the same questions. And, you know, even the most hard-boiled businessman is going to ask me, it may be after he asked about how to maneuver through the board of directors,
mm-hmm,
or what to do in the annual report or what about this investor or, you know, this proposal or whatever. It may be after the business questions, but he will always ask about his wife.
Yeah.
You know, he will always ask about his wife. They will always, almost always ask about their children. You know, they're human.
Yeah.
They're human.
I have to wonder, too, and if they're asking about business in particular, male or female, sometimes the questions aren't coming from a dilemma with ethics.
Well, this is interesting. Everybody has different ethical dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about where and how it occurs,
mm-hmm,
for them. And what's interesting, what I think is so great about the current economical crisis that our world is undergoing, is that people seem a lot clearer about where lines are.
Yeah.
You know, people seem a lot clearer, and I'm not getting as much of that kind of stuff as I used to. Right now, things have gotten really real, and I'm seeing a lot more people with, how do I buck up? You know, how do I buck up and deal with this? How do I face the fire? How do I, you know, all of us grew up with stories about making it through the Great Depression, our parents, our grandparents,
yeah,
and nobody wants it to get that bad.
Yeah.
And the smarter people are acutely aware that there's stuff they can do now to make things less bad in the future,
mm-hmm,
and things they can do now to even prevent things from getting worse from them, for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of, like we were talking about before, in the last 6 months, 8 months, there's been a lot more about how do I work. A lot of couples mm-hmm. with, you know, they'll talk about their businesses and then it's like, okay, how do I talk with my husband so we're more of a team
yeah.
about managing our money together,
yeah.
you know, or how do we... how do we navigate things with our kids? How mm-hmm. do we tell our kids that we can't afford this or that, or that we want to work together to try and figure out the best way to get everybody what it is they're trying to get and be fair?
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned, of course, fear earlier, and the thought occurred to me as you're talking about couples getting together and discussing these financial matters. People are... also thinking, okay, do I go ahead and continue to spend the way I've been spending, or do I start putting some of that money away in case? But that's coming from a position of fear as opposed to, I want to save for a new car, or I want to
yeah,
save money for...
the whole saving issue
yeah,
is as not opposed to, on the table
right
now.
I want to save
yeah.
for, in case I lose my job, I better put some money away and not spend the money out here. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, but isn't that reinforcing that whole attitude of lack? And again, it's fear-based.
Yeah, and this is where languaging is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, the words that just came to me were, it's hard to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear sometimes, you mm-hmm. know, and for a lot of people, the time for that conversation was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Now we're too deep.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, how do I save the house?
Mm-hmm.
How do I save my job? You know, which, and you're right. It's like, how do I manage these moments from a place of faith and not fear?
Mm-hmm.
How do I trust? How do I, the phrase and the philosophy I always use is that hope for the best, mm-hmm. but prepare for the worst so that you can handle anything in between. And when shit hits fans, how do you trust
mm-hmm.
that there is a divinity in this, and how do you use your faith?
Yeah.
You know, most of us have a Sunday morning faith.
Yeah.
Most of us don't have the faith when things aren't working.
Yeah.
You know, the faith is the first thing that goes yeah. out the window. And so really, and that's where I love, you know, a good reader, a good intuitive is not going to preach to you. They're going to help you find your faith in that moment
mm-hmm.
and create a strategy that will empower you rather than make you another little robot drone that's just following somebody else's orders.
I think of two specific instances where, on the one hand, I was kind of living in a place of fear for about a year. Because I was laid off from 4 jobs in the course of 1 year.
Yeah.
And this was
yeah.
like back in 1999, 2000,
yeah.
something like that. And then another place where I should have been racked with it and couldn't find it, even tried to create it and I couldn't.
Wow.
And that was when both my wife and I lost my job through the station being sold back in Phoenix, and she quit her job. And we thought, okay, well, we could look for new jobs here, but we've wanted to make this shift. Do we do this? And we just trust. And I was sharing this
yeah.
with you before.
Yeah.
And so you have those two different examples, and people have those experiences where now they're in the present moment and they're wondering, okay, I need to go back to those times when. Do I base it on that 1 year where I was laid off 4 times and I hunker down with the fear? Or do I go back to three and a half years ago where there was no fear and we were both unemployed and...
it was okay.
It was okay?
It was somehow okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the perennial mental emotional battle, I think, that is so unique to the human condition. You know, it takes an extraordinary amount of mental discipline
yeah.
to stay in a place of faith. And you can't always control your mind slipping in and out
right.
of gear. But you can be very disciplined about where you go and what you do when you realize you're out of gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
is
yeah.
there for you... an intuitive's intuitive? I mean, is there somebody that you go see, or do you have a level of confidence and trust in your
oh,
own inner
boy.
Voice?
I use this in my daily life, and to a certain degree, I trust it.
Mm-hmm.
But at big crossroads,
mm-hmm.
I will always consult other people. And there's kind of a lot of them. You know, psychics are a dime a dozen in this town, but I was just down in L.A. on Monday and realized that they're a dime a dozen in California. It's kind of it's kind of part of the culture here more. And so it's just part of our, it's more
it's
part
our
of
lifestyle.
Our life here.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
different things work for different people. I've gotten extraordinary tarot card readings from Patricia DiOrio and Laura Gasparini at key junctures in my life where I didn't, things were going on and I was in that fear place and I just could not see how this thing that was happening could possibly be good.
Yeah.
But I knew from, you know, coaching everybody else that it has to be there somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I called the gals or, you know, and just said, hey, I need some time and help me map this out and make a tape and make notes and give me homework and, you know, tell me how to reframe this in my mind so I have a more empowered place to stand. Those gals have been extraordinary. Pam Osley has been extraordinary.
Oh, you know
Fred
Pam?
Bassett. Oh, Pammy.
Oh,
Pam
yeah.
was the one, one of the ones who has, she at the time I was coming up, she had the most successful business model, her and Fred Bassett. And those two were extraordinary in not just giving me spiritual and emotional guidance, but helping me figure out the ins and outs of it, where to go for business liability insurance, you know, how to set up the pacing, you know, because you can't see eight people a day, 5 days a week. It's it's emotionally draining, energetically draining work. And you know, Pam's real disciplined. She's got a real good good thing going.
Yeah.
And she was real helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's been real helpful a number of times.
I know her well. I know her very well.
She's a good gal.
She is very good. And it's extraordinary to me to hear the names. And obviously, then someone would say, well, should I go to them as opposed to Beth? Well, again, every person's different.
Yeah.
And if Beth resonates with you, then get in contact with her through her website, which is BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. I wasn't sure if you wanted to give out the phone number.
I can do that.
Okay. I actually have you go ahead and give that out. And this is how you can get in touch with her.
My number is 805-963-0842.
Okay. 805-963-0842. And you can also go to her website. There's a lot of resources as well there, information. And,
yeah.
And you also have a book that you've written.
Yes. I co-wrote this with another astrologer who I go to for key stuff, especially about my son, because she's really tuned in to the Leo thing. Jamie O'Toole, she and I wrote a little Valentine's Day book that's basically a really funny and fun guide to making the most out of Valentine's Day. Based on your sign and your lover's sign.
Mm.
Because the different, you know, astrology is fantastic at deciphering the language of love. Everybody gives and receives love differently. And what we noticed in our practices was that Valentine's Day could be a particularly difficult one for couples.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of couples, it is fight season. You know, because she wants, you know, we do, my joke is, you know, for the last 2 weeks of February, I'm generally doing damage control over blown Valentine's days. It's just after years and years and years, it's always what happens. Sometimes it's 4 weeks after Valentine's Day, depending on what's going on. But, you know, women have such expectations of Valentine's being a certain way. And for a lot of men, it's the retailer's equivalent of Christmas. If you don't get it this day, your whole year is blown.
And you best go to the pet store and buy yourself a doghouse,
because
that's where you will be,
spending
a lot of time.
A lot of time. Yeah, out in the back by yourself.
Absolutely. So, or if you have a dog, with the dog.
Yeah.
Although the wife may want to keep the dog in the house and you solo in the doghouse.
I've seen that too. I had a client for a while who's there was a doghouse in the backyard with her husband's name over the back.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was a very interesting. He had a tendency, I guess, to blow it quite frequently.
And yet at the same time, the stereotype for men in relationships is that they forget. That's the stereotype.
And it's not always true.
It's not always true. But then when the man lives up to the stereotype, why is the woman surprised?
Exactly.
I don't understand. And I'm not.
No, I get, I know. I spend a lot of my practice coaching women around this.
Yeah.
Coaching women around this, because it's very well documented, both medically, biologically, and In clinical psychology, testosterone slows brain function. Men and women process different. Estrogen speeds it up.
So are you recommending that men start taking estrogen?
Well, what's funny is the neurologist who told me this is a very well-known international one who's testified before the Senate and all that stuff. And after she said that sentence, she said, and we should be putting it in the drinking water.
Oh, along with the fluoride. Wonderful. Well, what we're going to do is take a short break here. We're going to come back with our final few moments with Beth McDonald. Beth McDonald Consulting, 805-963-0842 is her phone number. We'll give that out again as well. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Are addictions ruining your life? Have you lost hope and long to discover help for a brighter tomorrow? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Dine in our private sanctuary in the heart of downtown Santa Barbara, where the loudest sound is a fountain. The Arts and Letters Cafe is secluded behind Sullivan Goss and American Gallery, directly across the street from the Art Museum on East Annapamoo Street. Great food and great art combined for an exclusive dining experience. For starters, try the critically acclaimed pumpkin soup. The creative salads include grilled salmon medallions, warm lamb, pear, and caramelized walnuts. The Arts and Letters sandwiches are equally delicious. Portobello panini, grilled mahi-mahi, and chicken curry salad. And the seafood entrees at Arts and Letters Cafe are simply incredible. Grilled ahi, salmon, or scallops. Risotto and chopino, too. The Arts and Letters Cafe is open for lunch daily. You can also reserve it for your own private evening parties. With plenty of parking at the New Granada Garage, the Arts and Letters Cafe offers you a private sanctuary and superb food.
The first plastic automobile in the U.S. was built by the Ford Motor Company this month in 1941. It had plastic body panels attached to a tubular welded frame and was patented in 1942. But by then, domestic car production had ceased for the duration of World War II. Still, it helped prefigure the many modern uses for plastics. Today, producing plastic goods in the U.S. is a more than $141 billion a year business. Profile America is a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, and we have had in studio with us this afternoon Beth McDonald. She is an intuitive. You're a consultant as well. I mean, you've got a lot of hats. Is there one term? Do you like psychic? Do you prefer intuitive? Guesser?
Yeah. It often depends on the company I'm in. You know, if I'm in a very conservative group like, you know, my son's PTA or something like that, I tend to just go by consultant because it doesn't open up any wounds or paint a target on my back.
Right.
And it helps us all stay focused on the task at hand, which is the children, you know, and that sort of thing. Sometimes it's astrologer, sometimes it's psychic, sometimes it's intuitive, sometimes it's reader. It just kind of floats and fluctuates and... depends. I'm a Gemini. I don't have a preference. I do what works.
Okay.
I like it all.
All right. Well, there are two questions that I want to ask you. And the first one is, and we've been wanting to do this. Now, this is impromptu on my part to you.
Yes.
And you can certainly say no to this.
Yes.
But I've considered the possibility of continuing on following this program to continue the record. And then this, what would be left, because we can't continue on air.
Right.
Would be available online at our website as part of the total interview. So in other words, people who are listening now aren't going to be able to hear what you and I are going to be talking about. We would continue the interview for another half hour or so?
That works for me.
Okay, we can do that. So
yeah,
we're going to have a little bonus in the archive.
Excellent.
So if you're listening now, we are going to continue this interview for about another half hour. It will not be streamed on the internet, but it will be available after we finish that segment. And so we'd ask you to stay with us. Go to the website, richarddugan.com, and click on the link to the file that will be available probably closer to 5 p.m. Pacific time. And you can hear the rest of what we talked about, because I had some other questions.
Excellent.
But the one question that I usually like to ask my guests as we come to the end of our program, and you have about 2 or 3 minutes to answer this.
Okay.
You have been doing a lot of different things, I'm sure, long before you got into this professionally.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why this? Why now?
Oh, that's fascinating. When I first started the process of coming out of the closet with this and making peace with it and getting over it, I wasn't sure if this was my career path, though a number of the psychics around me, in particular Gary Douglas, bless his heart, he was adamant, you really have to do this. This is your career path. And at the time, I had been a management and marketing consultant. I was helping people with their businesses anyway. And so a friend of mine had referred me to a professional coach. And so I walked through this woman's door. It was Vivian Young, who many of you locals know. She's now in Florida. But I walked in her door and I just said, okay, Viv, I need help figuring out what my real career is. I've been doing this and I love it. But, you know, I have these other skills and talents. And a lot of the people in the psychic realms are telling me that this needs to be my career. And I don't know how to make this choice. And she looked at me and she said, you don't have to choose. And it never would have occurred to me. Never would have occurred to me. Mm. Never, ever, ever would I have given myself permission to blend the two. Would not have done that. And so we worked on that for a while. I've probably worked with her on and off for a year. Just kind of, you know, working through my own mental blocks and mapping out some strategies. And it was easier than I thought. We just don't give ourselves permission, especially my husband always says, you know, well, this isn't a career you can find out about it at the career fair, you know, on career day. Again, there wasn't.
Oh, there's IBM. I'm going to be a psychic for IBM.
Yeah. Yeah. You just don't. And so a lot of it is perseverance and faith and just patience. Mm-hmm. You know, creating anything takes such patience and perseverance, and we're such a lottery, microwave, I want it yesterday society. And one of the hardest things, I think, for all of us is really just having patience with the process and not losing faith when it takes longer than we think it should.
Absolutely. I although we got rid of our microwave a couple of years ago, so we don't even use it. And for a lot of very good reasons, folks, we don't use a microwave. Micro changes the molecular structure of what it is you are microwaving. Ergo, it isn't the same as when you put it in. And it's not for the better, I must tell you. I want to thank you so much for joining
us on
the program.
Thank you. This is fantastic.
Because we went through the hour and we came out the other end better, as opposed to going through a microwave.
Yeah. We've been transformed in a different way.
And again, the website is BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. And the phone number, once again, and let me see if I can pull that up right here, is 805-963-0842. Again, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. You can also go to the website and RichardDugan.com. You can hear this interview again. We will be making it available as soon as we wrap up our post-interview. I like that. Or the after interview. Yeah. And we ask you to join us every Saturday at this same time for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. That's what it's all about. So we ask you to join us. Join us on the internet at richarddugan.com and listen to the after interview of Tell Me Your Story. Love, Talal. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue with our interview here as we do the after interview, which is kind of a first for us.
Excellent.
Here at Tell Me Your Story, to try and see how this works. We'll put this in at the end of the on-air interview and have people get in touch with you, hopefully, and learn a little bit more about you and about what we'll be talking about in the next half hour or so. We talked about in a way, a lot of different things. You know, we brought into it how, you know, governments and agencies around the world for centuries have been using the gifts of, I don't know if you want to call them the alchemist, the intuitive, what have you. The wizards.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that would be kind of cool. You know,
yeah,
you think
a cool
of
name.
King
I
Arthur.
Like the wizard. Yeah.
The wizard. Yeah. That's what I was referred to at some radio stations because I was so adept at what I was doing. I was nice. I preferred doctor, but hey, Oracle was nice. But that's something I'm curious about. Where does your ego fluctuate in this wonderful little space that you've created for yourself? Do you ever stop and say, oh, wow, I'm a psychic. This is really cool. Look how, you know, powerful I am and people listen to me. And or is it always pretty humbling?
Well, it's pretty humbling. It's both. You know, I'm human. There's going to be both. I get more of the oh golly, I'm fantastic moments at cocktail parties when people walk up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, and you get cornered and then you don't have to worry about mingling.
They come to you.
They come to me and they want to know all about it. And so it's, you know, there's moments there where I enjoy the attention. There's other times where I very much need privacy and space. And we're kind of famous for taking a lot of trips to remote locations where there's no other human beings and we don't have to talk to people. And, you know, you can kind of... decompress.
Yeah.
And it's also an awesome, every career has its awesome responsibilities, and this one also has it. I mean, people make huge choices based on what you advise them to do or not do. And and they're the ones who have to live with the consequences of your words.
Is there any kind of, this sounds kind of weird, but is there any kind of malpractice insurance that you might need? What you just stated is it's on them because they're the ones that are making the choices, but it's based upon what you have shared
advised. Yeah.
So where is your responsibility in that regard? How does that play?
That is a very interesting question. That is a very interesting question. You always, I believe, now another reader would probably tell you something very different, and so this is just my opinion. Again, this industry is not regulated the way a lot of them are. You know, if with a lawyer or a tax person, like a tax accountant, if they give you bad advice and you take it, you know, they are somewhat liable. Sometimes they're not. It depends on the exact nature of the thing. And so, you know, this is an area where it can be very difficult to get good, clean advice about how to conduct yourself and how to advise others. But the way I was taught was you basically pray to be given the right information. And then also you continue to reiterate to people that they have free will and choice and that they can create the future that they want most of the time based on their actions and how they hold their heads in their hearts and give them choices.
I know that just the basic process, I mean, you had mentioned too about somebody sitting for 8 hours getting 8 clients a day can be exhausting.
Yeah.
So you've got to pace yourself and what have you. Are there clients that you know, they're maybe regulars, that you can only take so much of them? And it's like, so you kind of have to pace yourself with that particular client. And I'm not exactly sure the reasons why. Some of them can be energy vampires. I mean, we've heard of them before.
Right, right.
But other people, they're just, their aura, their personality, their energy, what have you, is such that it's, even if they're not verbally constantly, you know, draining you in that respect, just their presence, it's like, I'm going to give them the information and get out.
Well, this is where different people, again, have different strategies. For me, people are paying for my presence and my time. And so if I'm trying to do a get in and get out, I'm not doing them justice.
How do you protect yourself then?
Well, it's not so much, I don't believe in protection the way a lot of psychics believe in protection. I believe in being smart and being in reality. And the reality is some people... Everybody processes information differently. And the ones, the quote-unquote energy vampires often have certain psychological conditions. It's not that they're bad and wrong. There's often indicators in the chart. Neptune conjunctions. Neptune conjunct the natal sun, conjunct the natal rising, natal moon, natal north node. Those are often indicators for a very, very broken heart. That condition, the symptoms that mm-hmm. you're seeing are not just somebody decided to be a nightmare. It's like somebody had a very normal clinical response to something difficult.
Yeah.
And so you have to have mercy and compassion, and you have to find the way in. And that's one of the things I love about astrology, is that you can see that and you can say, okay, this one is this kind of a person, and so you need to speak to them this way.
Yeah.
And and basically that kind of a person tends to need a lot more just reassurance, validation, yeah. love and support. Another kind, what we call the speed talkers, usually it's a conjunction of the planet Mars, which is the divine male. It's tons of energy. It's very powerful. It's very forceful. Conjunct Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
The planet that rules language and communication, and they're talking so much,
right.
You can't get a word in edgewise. And so if I realize I'm with one of those, I have to be very clear with them about, look, honey, you're paying me by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing all the talking, you're not getting the information, and it's your call. You know, basically, you're the customer, and if you need someone to listen to you, because some people really just need that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do that for you. If you want more advice, you're going to have to leave more air in the conversation so I can tell you a few things. You
know? Need some breaks there.
And you choose. Yeah. You know, it's really about that. I'm not one of those psychics who says I only work this way and everybody gets the plain hamburger with ketchup and mustard.
I
really pride myself on my ability to read people and customize a program for them. And I think that's what endears me to a lot of people.
You had mentioned earlier about the different types of astrology. We
yes.
have regularly on our program a Vedic astrologer.
Oh, right.
And he lays out one chart.
Yeah.
Because of the way that this particular
method works yeah.
it's all scientific. And so the chart that he did for me 5 years ago is just as valid as it is today.
Yeah.
But Western astrology is
very different.
Yeah.
Very different. Very different. And I actually love that, because then you can continue to peel back layers and get more and more specific. And that is particularly helpful in crisis management,
mm-hmm.
or especially around lawsuits or divorces or long-term illnesses or things that are going to take time and that you want to handle very conscientiously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, you always start with the natal chart, which is the map of where all the planets and constellations were at the moment you drew your first breath. And that's said to be a map of the plan you and God had when you guys decided you were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we check that fairly regularly against what we call transits, which is a map of where everything is right now. And that tells us what the priorities are at any given time and where the eases and stresses are.
I find it fascinating that there are more and more people who are really getting in touch, and yet at the same time I'm not so fascinated, because it seems pretty obvious that this would be happening.
Yeah.
With the transitions that we've been going through with the planets and so forth, and obviously we're a lot of people talking about, of course, 2012 and all of that.
I know. There's a big movie playing at the Center for the Heart this weekend, I think, 8th, 9th, and 10th, about that. That's supposed to be very good. I just got an email about it this morning, but I haven't seen it.
Well, there's also a movie coming out in November.
Fantastic.
Nationwide, 2012.
Oh, right. The pop culture version.
Yeah, the pop culture version.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had guests on talking about 2012.
Yeah.
And that their biggest concern, and it's not so much a concern because they're certainly looking at it from a broader perspective, but is that the generation of the fear.
Yeah.
And the fact is that what this particular movie is predicting, obviously, is cataclysms of a physical earthly nature, you know, just floods and storms and earthquakes and
asteroids,
volcanoes.
And, yeah.
You know, I say if there's an asteroid, I mean, I still remember the story of the asteroid that hit the side of Jupiter and left a crater the size of the Earth. And I'm thinking, now that's the one I want to hit Earth.
Yeah.
Because I just want it to be over and done. Just, you know.
quick and dirty.
I used to say during the Cold War, if they're going to drop an atomic bomb, I want to be at ground zero.
Yeah.
I want it over.
Yeah.
You know, just hit me right on top of the head and I'm good.
I'll go home.
Yeah. I'm ready to move on to the next level.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
When I was working for the Christian radio station, and of course, everybody was so fearful about Armageddon and the various news stories were coming out of the Middle East and how, oh, this was the beginning of the end and da-da-da-da. I'm thinking... And I was talking with people about how to, you know, how these different events would bring about the end times and the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast and all these different things. And then, of course, the 1,000 years of Jesus' reign. And I'm thinking, well, then let's bring it on. How can I help to make
let's
it go,
go
faster? Let's go. You know, I'm excited. Let's do this thing. You know, let's get it, you know.
Let's get it going.
Because it's like, well, wait a minute. And then I even saw this one comedian who was talking about Jesus on the cross and all these people are crying at the movie, seeing him dying on the cross. And says, don't you people understand? You should be happy because if he doesn't do that, then, you know, he doesn't raise from, and he rises, I swear he raises from the dead 3 days later. And you should be happy.
Yeah.
This should be a good thing.
This
you
is
be
the plan.
Crying.
Yeah.
This is the plan.
Yeah.
People seem to become very myopic as far as what's happening. Or the events that they're looking at, and they don't see, they have a very difficult time seeing the big picture.
And I'm sorry for how many times I've said this in this interview, but so much of this is the human dilemma.
Yeah. Is this part of, you think, the agreement that we all seem to have made, or was this in the fine print at the bottom of the contract that we didn't read when we signed it, saying, and you will have these things happening to you?
Yeah, you will be here during Armageddon. If you incarnate now, this is your deal.
That's
and
right.
Make peace with it. And this is, again,
and
where,
it is an e-ticket ride.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. And yet it doesn't have to be. I mean, I've heard people say, the intuitives... the alchemists, all the people within the metaphysical, many people within the metaphysical community that say if there are enough people who are able to raise the consciousness to a certain level, we don't have to go through those events. Do you believe that those kinds of things that you believe certainly we create our own reality as individuals, but
right.
Could we do that as a civilization?
Well, and to a certain degree we do, and
yeah.
We have.
Okay.
The problem I have with most of the people who espouse that mindset is they're trying ultimately to get everybody else to do it their way. And it's so much simpler than that. I am a proponent of be the change you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about some big, massive movement as much as it's about how do you go through your... And what happens when... Do you freak out or are you cool
mm-hmm.
about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens when someone rear-ends you and doesn't have insurance? You know, what happens when... You know, your kid's teacher has a human moment and makes a mistake. You know, how do we manage those moments? Do we have compassion and forgiveness and good, clean boundaries, or are we drama queens?
Yeah.
And especially in America, I don't get this so much with certain other drama queens. We really are famous for making a mountain out of a molehill and getting all on the wrong part of the equation. And so much of what I do sometimes is really talking people down off the skinny branches.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know what? You don't have to be up there.
Yeah.
You know, the ground is right here.
Yeah.
You know, you can put your little feet right on that and stand right up and it'll be a whole different experience for you. It's very interesting. I'm working with a gal a lot this summer and she frequently says, probably 3 times in an hour, is like, oh, so I worry about that then. And I keep saying to her, honey, don't worry about it forever.
Yeah.
Worry doesn't help you.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
yeah.
If you have concerns about a certain thing happening or not happening, there are actions you can take to prevent it from happening at all. And then, you know, where's your faith?
Mm-hmm.
Pray. You know, pray. I love that a lot of the prayers that are so common now, the St. Francis of Assisi prayer and the third step prayer that the 12-step programs use, about where you're really trying to be as surrendered as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do your best to achieve whatever the goals are you're trying to achieve. And then to a certain degree, you have to let go.
Yeah.
And trust that if despite your best efforts, this thing ain't happening, God's got a better deal for you.
Yeah.
And calm down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
We're so willful.
It reminds me of the saying that when closes, a window will open. And the thought that came to mind as you said that was, but that doesn't necessarily mean... It's going to open the window you want.
Exactly.
Okay? You may want to go out the window directly opposite the door, but actually the window on the left wall from the one that you've got to go through. Yeah. That's the where you're going to go. Because if you try forcing your way through the door, through the window opposite the door, you might do yourself. Yeah, you may learn
you're
some wonderful lessons.
You're going to end up in the ER with stitches.
You very well might.
Yeah.
I can tell you stories about going through windows.
Yeah. But that's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And a lot of my practice.
Now, I often ask the question of people who do travel around or who have clients around the world. The American psyche is definitely the drama queen.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas other parts of the world, which seem to have more drama, I mean, if you live, say, in Northern Ireland, that kind of thing, or you live in the Middle East, or you on the border there with China and that whole skirmish, wherever there are those, we read about or hear about these kinds of conflicts going on between peoples, and yet you still find that they seem to just kind of
Certain
move
cultures are more practical
and
more pragmatic. Let's just solve the problem. Let's not make an Academy Award winning performance about this.
What went wrong here?
Yeah.
What went wrong here?
With us?
With us.
Oh, boy.
You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, that's another conversation. That's a whole conversation. I think we spend way too much time in front of the television getting fomented by people who do not have our best interests at heart and who do not have who I don't believe are using media to its highest and best purpose. Yeah. I think we spend way too much time in the media entertaining and diverting and distracting, and we don't spend enough time educating and empowering people.
Yeah.
But that's my personal soapbox. We should definitely talk about that another time.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us here on the After Interview, I'm talking with Beth McDonald. She is a consultant, and her website, BethMcDonaldConsultant.com. It's Beth McDonald Consulting. Is it ING?
ING.
Beth McDonald, can also reach her. We'll give you the phone number here in just a couple of moments. This is sort of a new venture for us. It's sort of like an added bonus. You know how sometimes you will hear the music on the radio or the album and they'll give you a bonus track.
Yeah.
Or on a DVD. You'll have alternate endings. You mentioned Sanity.
Yes.
It brought to mind how I used to use the idea of people putting a videotape and watching it and expecting a different ending. And I had to kind of update it to modern times, saying stick a DVD in and you're watching the movie over and over again and expecting a different ending. And the problem is they give you alternate endings. So I'm thinking, okay, I better new way to.
New metaphor.
Because after a while, people aren't going to know what VCRs are. Videotape. But of course, the classic definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we are such drama-oriented almost instinctively.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. We in America, it's a part of our DNA to do it over and over again expecting a different outcome, where people around the world don't.
Right. And I think that has to do partially of our history. You know, we came when our founding fathers first came here, there was so much wide and abundance didn't have in the old world.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it kind of fostered a sense that we have destiny is somehow bigger and we can have the American, you know, the American dream is we can have everything we want.
Right. What I found so fascinating about that scenario is that the whole reason why we broke away and had the Revolutionary War was because we didn't like being taxed and usurped and controlled and manipulated and all of this. And then over the course of the first 100, 200 years, that's exactly what we did to all the peoples that were either here or came here.
Oh, yeah. It's so much like parenting. You know, we grow up and we say, I'll never parent the way I was parented and turn around and do it.
We do the same thing
again. Because we do what we know. We do what we know.
And that's
and
the
it
reason.
Takes, well, and in psychology, there's a huge emphasis on how, and breaking those patterns.
Yeah.
How until you literally train the mind and soul to show up differently, it's just part of it's part of our makeup. It's the human animal. And so.
What is your educational background?
Oh, really interesting question. My father was in the service, and so we traveled a lot.
Okay.
And so I went to a number of different schools all over the country. I actually went to a high school in Omaha, Nebraska for the first 2 years of high school, and then in Moore, New Jersey for the second 2 years. And so because of that, I had places, I had a very unintegrated education. There were places where I really sailed and got a lot of information. Like I took driver's ed twice, but I failed algebra four times, you know. And so there were places where I got a lot of things really good, and then there were real holes in my education. When I graduated from high school, everybody was going off to Ivy League schools, and I didn't want that. I wanted to come back to California, and that turned out to be too far away. I was too young. And so I went to Florida, figured it was the best thing, and I studied cultural anthropology. Having been raised very Baptist, I was very, very clear that there were a lot of religions out there who believed something different, and I wanted to know who they were. And I studied ancient religions, I studied contemporary religions. I was particularly enamored of the Native American traditions and their storytelling and their myths. And mm-hmm. And then I had an opportunity to come to California, and I did. And I came out here, and the program was different. And so I had always been interested in writing. I'm a Gemini, that rules writing. I have a very prominent Mercury in my natal chart. And so I knew I had some destiny around writing. And mm-hmm. so I came to UCSB and went through the literature.
Well, if you just joined us, this is Tell Me Your Story, the after interview. And I'm here with Beth McDonald, and she has a website, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, and you can get in touch with her that way. Before we wrap up this first of its kind after interview, I want to ask you a little bit about what you've got coming up in the future. I mean, you already have a book. It's a small little book, which is kind of cute, and I think people will gain a lot from it. The Very Generic and Experiential Zodiac-Based Guide to Valentine's Day Bliss. And you take a breath after you say
the
title of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have anything coming out in the near future or the distant future?
Well, Jamie and I are just deliberating about this. This was the flagship of what was going to be 6 to 8 little mini books about different holidays: Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Halloween, graduation, and eventually we'd bind them into one big book. The Halloween book is most likely next. That's the one we've been working on, and that's the one that is that's the next holiday.
Okay.
And, you know, we both have a lot of the sign of Leo in our charts, which has to be fun. And so we're kind of driven by what would be the most fun to do next.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, why not do
what's
fun?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why do something that's just drudgery?
Yeah. It's Mary Poppins.
That's kind of
it's
the whole point.
Mary Poppins.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're here to give people those choices and the knowledge thereof so that they can go out and fulfill their dreams, not sludge through the mud.
Right. How to make this more
unless
fun.
Unless that brings you joy. Unless
and
sledging
for
through
some
the mud.
People,
it does.
Absolutely.
It does. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just also curious about the types of, because we talked about this early in the program, about the modalities that you use.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned cards.
Yes.
I mean, there are just so many. I mean,
there's
some people
so
use sticks and runes
and
tea leaves,
chicken bones, and coffee grounds. You know, there has been, people have been trying to divine the future and the will of God since they walked upright.
Yeah.
We want to know what's going on. We want to know how to not get hurt. You know, we want to know how to not starve to death. We want to know. It was so closely linked to our survival early on.
Yeah.
So early on, it was so much about harvests and hunting.
Yeah. And the real irony is that every time I turn around and I go through a personal growth and development program, or I speak with a therapist or some of these different folks, they're always saying, you know, give up the need to know. It's like, well, wait a minute, but that's in my DNA. I need to know.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
It's about knowing loosely, you know.
Yeah.
The analogy that I like to use the best is comes from meteorology and predicting the weather.
Okay.
You know, when there is a hurricane coming, they can never tell you exactly where it's going to land,
nope.
But they can give you what they call the cone of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
which is about a 350-mile radius where it's going to fall.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really accurate with that.
Yeah.
It will land in there somewhere.
Right.
And so, you know, what I like to do, again, is to create a strategy. If you're going for a particular goal, if it happens this way, great.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen the way you want it to, how do we prepare you? How do we predict the likely ways it's going to fall? And how do we prepare you for those eventualities so that should they come to pass, you are safe,
yeah.
you're secure, you're not hemorrhaging money, your wife's not leaving you, your dog still loves you. You know, how do we create,
yeah.
given your personal comfort levels,
mm-hmm.
style of intellectual mental processing, style of speaking, you know, levels of comfort with confrontation and risk-taking, you know, given your personal makeup, how do we create the best cone of uncertainty for you?
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and so you know a bit. You know a bit more than you did,
right?
But you don't have complete control. Only right. God does.
It's kind of like another analogy would be, okay, the rain is coming, and we know it is going to hit the ground. We just don't know where.
Or how much. Yeah.
Okay, but we know it's coming.
But we know it's coming.
So you can get your umbrella, you can get your
boots,
and you can also get your pontoon.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Right.
We live up on the hill above Santa Barbara, yeah. and we would need to get our sled.
Yeah.
just in case, depending upon how much we got.
Right.
It's been a fascinating time spending this hour and a half with you. And
thank you so much.
Sharing with our listeners, those who will hear this second half hour, if you will, or actually it's the third half hour.
Yeah. Being,
and I look forward to having you back again.
Excellent.
And contributing to our program in the future as well.
Excellent.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, the After Interview. And if you'd like to find out more, you can go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. That's BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. You can also go to RichardDugan.com. We have a link there as well. And you can get in touch with her and find out more. You can find out about her neat little book here, which I find really kind of cool. It's got some great pictures in it, by the way.
Jamie does the art. Jamie
Very
is
nice.
The artist, and she's
wow.
also an astrologer, and she's been got a degree in psychology. I mean, she really brings a lot to the table, and she's amazing.
I got to tell you, I worry about people spending too much time with people who have psychology degrees and things like that because I feel like I'm being psychoanalyzed.
Yeah. Well, like, there's that fear.
Okay, I already know I'm a nutcase, but I don't need you to verify
well,
it.
Well, we're all nutcases, honey. It's just important to know what kind of nutcase
what
you
level,
are.
What yeah, level of
yeah,
nut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Again, I want to thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan, and as always, we encourage you to tune in every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can always give us a call. You can send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com, and tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time for Tell Me Your Story. Until next Saturday, love to all. Bye-bye.